Greetings, listener, and welcome to this episode 80 of Give the Drama Some Podcast. Now, as promised, we told you that we would do a presenter special, so unfortunately for you, here it is right now for your entertainment and listening pleasure. Introducing Jord.
Hello.
And introducing Tomas.
Sup.
Emphasis on the arse. So, guys, how are you?
Good, man. Good.
How was your... go on.
Yeah, keeping busy, man. It's all good.
How was your trip to NAMM?
Oh, it's great, man. You're going to love it.
Really?
We're playing it in a bit, aren't we, yeah?
I'm going to play it. Do you know what? I'm going to play it pretty soon. I'm not going to let the listeners be messed around by lots of talky talk. And NAMM show later on. I think we should just do it as soon as... And, yeah, hear your very detailed and thorough report on all the lovely things that are there.
You're going to love it, man. We spent ages on it. We walked around the whole day. We had a plan of what we were going to do. We spoke to all the companies.
Cool, yeah, man. Cool. Well, I certainly put a lot into it, guys. I you know, forget my kids' bloody college and university funds.
That'd be all right.
I thought, well, you know, I could always save up for that in the future, so... You know, yeah. I don't know if you listeners know about this, but I gave the two guys about $4,500 for them to travel over to California and do a special at NAMM. Because I thought, well, you know, give the drummer some. It's been going for quite a while now. So, you know, I want a bit of cred. I told the guys, I said, I want to give the drummer some, a little bit of cred out there. So tootle off to NAMM. And report back with all the lovely things that are on show for our lovely listeners. And you've done that, haven't you, lads?
We have.
Yeah.
Good, 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 good. So, yeah, when did you guys get back then? When did the flight get in?
A few days ago.
How was it? So, yeah. Are you all jet lagged and stuff?
Yeah,
or what?
I'm just getting over it.
Mate, I've been on a plane.
Jord looks a little bit sunburnt there.
I know, yeah. I'm not used to it. This Birmingham weather, you know. I don't really get sunburnt, so...
Well,
but it was good.
But hang on, how did you get sunburnt when you spent 4 days in a big convention hall?
Yeah, well, I'm really pale. Doesn't take much.
Oh, yeah,
just the heating of the lamps, you know.
I suppose.
They had those allergen bulbs.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Get really warm, yeah. They do.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, guys, this is a presenter special, so we'll be sort of giving you some general ramblings and BS about the things that we're into. Hopefully, might give you guys some ideas of you know, other albums and drummers to listen to, as well as you know, we talk to the drummers about TV and movies, so we'll talk a little bit about what we've been watching, and I don't know, a TV show might get your attention, and it might become your favourite. Who knows? It's worth a shot, eh? So, well, I tell you what, instead of talking NAMM just now, what we'll do is we'll play your section and then, yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about it. So if you're up for it, lads, should we do it now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool, man.
Greetings, listeners, and welcome to this. It's Give the Drummer Some at NAMM 2015. It's Tom and George.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Yeah, good, man, good, man. Good to see you, good to see you. Man, I can't believe Chris invested in spending his kids' college funds to get us here.
I know, but hotels are a bit rubbish, aren't they? Thought he'd be better than that.
Yeah, I know, but lobster for dinner's not that bad, I guess.
Nah, it's all right. Anyway, should we go in and have a look?
Yeah, man, well, we're on the NAMM floor, so let's go have a look around.
Sweet, man. Ooh, cymbals.
Oh, man, yeah, use this stick, go hit him, see what this sounds like.
We can have a go, can't we? You ready?
Yeah, go.
Mate.
Dude, have you cracked it?
Run.
You're not meant to crack the damn cymbal, George. Run. Alright, well, I don't think anyone noticed, man. I don't think anyone noticed.
No, but you know what I've noticed?
What have you noticed?
Look at the size of that snare over there.
50 ply.
50 whole plies? A bit much, ain't it?
Yeah, I'm sure there's some use for it, but... God, I mean... Oh, man, look at those drumsticks.
Oh, dude.
Dude, look, they've got a practice pad. Let's go try them out.
Go on. Right, you ready?
Yeah, go.
Dude,
you broke the stick.
These sticks are rubbish.
You broke the stick. These are the display ones. Dude, just go.
Let's just go. Oh, no, 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 no. Hold on. I've got to go talk to this girl. One sec. You all right? No, no. Excuse me. How you doing? You all right? My name's Joel. What's yours? Oh, you know, I was hoping to play your bongos. No need to slap me. What's that? You know what? Forget you. Come on, Tom. Let's just go.
You done?
Yeah. Well, she obviously wasn't interested. Let's just move on.
Oh, mate, look at these snare drums.
Ooh.
Right, I'm gonna give it a thwack.
Done.
Oh, dude, I've dented the rim.
Mate, it's because it's powder coated. Don't say anything. Let's just walk away. Quick.
Right, let's just go. Okay.
Cool. Dude.
Yeah.
Look at those cajons over there.
Oh my god, look at that. Oh.
Mate, they're really. I wonder what they're made out of.
Yeah, use these sticks. Go have a go.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
It's not bad actually.
Dude, you chipped it.
Where?
Right there. It's a massive chip the size of.
Nah, mate, wasn't me.
God's sake.
All right.
Let's just go.
Just
pretend it wasn't us,
all right? Cool. Oh, dude. Cowbell. Everyone loves a cowbell.
Everyone loves the cowbell. Look how shiny it is.
Wish I had tambourines here. I really like tambourines.
Yeah, tambourines are good, man.
I know. And the triangle.
I am the triangologist, man.
Oh, mate. I can't... Well, that was it, really, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah,
we just went around the whole place.
Yeah, we just had a look around, man. I mean, there's not really much point in coming back tomorrow. Or should we just go to the beach?
Or the bar?
Bar is a good idea.
Cool, right. I hope you guys enjoyed our visit to Narn. We really did.
Right, sorry guys. What the f*** was that?
What do you mean?
Exactly that. I gave you like $4,500 to cover the NAMM show.
And we did.
We did. We covered cymbals and sticks and cajons.
No,
and...
by the sounds of it, you broke cymbals and sticks and cajons.
Well,
seriously.
Cajuns.
Cajuns.
Even
Cajuns.
It's got a J in it.
And George, what the hell is NAMM?
Well, not. Yeah, it's not an Indian restaurant.
It's Nan, you dork.
What?
But seriously, no, honestly, I'm being completely and utterly honest here. I've saved up all that money, and I've given you all this money, and you come back with that.
It's good,
do you not like it?
Well, no, I don't bloody like it. You don't even mention any companies or anything.
We said symbols.
You just said look at symbols and drums.
No, not for
you. We even looked at tambourines and triangles.
Not for your entertainment pleasure, for the bloody listeners.
But Chris...
You could have made
that clearer,
man. The girls. Some theory, I paid for a holiday for you two dorks to go and have a bloody good time in America.
Yeah, sort of.
Hotels are rubbish.
Oh, man. Jesus. I tell you what. We're going to have words after this, but I am not very pleased at all with that.
Well, I think you're wrong, because it was great. We got to experience all the new gear. We saw some cymbals and some drums. It was great.
Well, I'm really glad you had such a great time.
Can we go next year?
No.
Yeah.
Well, if you bloody save up, you can. You gits.
Oh, okay.
Right, moving on.
Oh, that reminds me, the woman at the bar... said that she's going to email you in the next few days as well.
Well, I'm forwarding that email to you guys because that's bullshit.
What? You said it was... You were going to cover it.
No, I'm not covering all of it.
You said free bar.
Yeah.
You said go out there, you know, report, and
don't worry
about it.
Guys, let's discuss this later on. I don't want the listeners to hear my disdain for you two right now.
Okay.
So listen, let's talk NAMM. What were the main things that you guys liked?
Cymbals.
I've been following Mapex recently, and I've been looking at the Sonoclear system that they've got. I mean, they've had it on like the Saturns for a while, and I think the Mars series have it as well. But they've kind of up game with it at the moment. And there's a demonstration with Russ Miller, You couldn't hear a good example of it because of the camera microphone. but there's a distinct difference in levels of tone on the drums with this sonically mounting system.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Was that... Are they the same guys did that? I think you say infused? Infused?
I'm
it's
not
the electronic.
Sure.
It's like electronic kit that you put on the tops of your drums, and right. You play
oh,
them.
Yeah, yeah.
They look pretty cool, man.
Yeah, I haven't seen them.
No, you weren't, because you were too busy bloody looking around checking chicks out. By the sounds of it.
Well, what were we supposed to do?
and Chris Adler's got a new snare out as well. It's the 12x5.5 maple walnut drum.
That looks
and
nice.
It's got, yeah, man, it looks. Awesome, and it's got the sonically register as well, so it's it keeps its resonance and everything. It just sounds but awesome.
The logo, the picture that's in it, is it burnt in or is it kind of laser cut in? How is it done? Do you know?
No, I can't see. It doesn't say.
It's pretty detailed.
Yeah, it looks badass, man.
I'd imagine it's probably laser cut. I don't
yeah.
think it'd be hand cut. That would cost a fortune. Each snare would cost a bomb to do that. So, well, I've been checking out the aero drums. It's like air drums, but you're holding a pair of sticks.
Uh-huh.
And when you play it, it's almost like you're hitting a drum kit when you play it. And apparently they're sort of like the closest, most detailed thing you can get. When you know, without having a kit there actually in front of you. So I thought that looked pretty cool. That's worthwhile checking out. So, well, this is a thrilling discussion, guys. Holy cry.
Yeah,
I mean, you guys saw all this stuff.
Well,
I'm
really intrigued. Bear in mind, we've got to talk about it. It's a British company. I'm intrigued about this 50-ply beast.
Right.
Yeah.
50-ply?
Yeah, it's an interesting.
Do you think it sounds good? What do you think? Because I mean, that with a thicker shell, you get a lot more attack. But I'd imagine you reach a point of attack where adding more plies won't give you much.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things where I think it gets to a point where you're just
you're not getting anywhere.
You're not going to get anything more. You're just doing it for the sake of doing it, which is cool. You know, I understand that there's room for that and everything in industries, but yeah. It seems like it was doing it for the sake of doing it now.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting concept, but I think 50-ply is kind of them just saying, how much can we actually do?
Yeah.
Like, how many plies can we get away with? I mean, do you know what I mean? It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot,
but,
man.
But equally, I mean, it is a trade show, and I think a lot of people out there expect each year for a drum company to come up with the most radical thing. And I mean, I must admit, up until this year, I was pretty disappointed. I mean, like, some companies is just like, hey, we're bringing out this brand new line. It's incredible. And it's like, oh, great. Okay, what is it? And they're like, our kits are now oak. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Right. It's not really groundbreaking or anything. But then, this year, I thought, well, hang on, it's a trade show.
Yeah.
You know, they're just trying to sell good drums to shops and sell lots of units, and there we go. You know.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they're just trying to shift units, you know.
Yeah, they're not trying to reinvent the wheel or reinvent drums or anything, so, you know, there you go. But, I mean, like, some of the footage online, it's been like, oh, wow, check out this amazing finish from this company, won't name any names or anything, and it's like, it's a red sparkle finish, and you're like, right. You know, and I mean, some companies, all they seem to do is just change the lugs.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not, they're not using a diamond shaped lug now, they're using like a teardrop shape. Isn't that amazing? And you're like, yeah, you know, is it amazing? But then you think, but it's a trade show. You know, they're trying to get people to come in, say, hey, that's a nice looking drum. I'll buy 30 of them or whatever and go from there. You know, they're not looking to sort of radically change how drums are made.
I think in some ways they are. Like with Mapex, they're trying to, with the whole Sonoclear thing, they're trying to get a new way to enhance drum sounds, and it's the way that they can present that. But then some companies aren't in that position, and they're just literally releasing new products kind of thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. There's some that are releasing new products. Was there any new products this year that sort of caught your eye? I mean, is there anything?
I love the Vicfirth split brushes.
Oh, the ones that Florian did.
I think he co-created
them. Florian Alexandru Zorn, fantastic drummer and friend of Give the Drummer Some podcast as well.
Yeah, they're great. They're great brushes. I think it's a really interesting concept, and a lot of people are like, "Oh, brushes are brushes." It's like, well, no. If you want to create a certain sound, and they create a certain sound, great.
Brushes are brushes, but then brushes are now they got one set of brushes, whilst this one has two.
Yeah.
So there you are, a bit cooler, a little bit different. Anything else? What about the spiral stackers from Zildjian? The smaller ones.
Oh, they were cool, man. They're awesome. I think they sound pretty cool. I think they aesthetically as well, they'd be pretty cool on a show.
Yeah.
I think they would look cool, and they've got a really neat sound to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and it's new, you know, even if some people kind of look at it and go, what's the point? You know, it's new, they're trying new things. And
yeah.
I liked it.
The thing I thought was quite interesting, and I'm not going to name any names at all, but a certain company bought out a product that to me, in my eyes, looks very much like a different company's product. And I kind of wonder what these companies sort of do or how they feel when, I mean, they're not ripped off. I'm not saying anyone is ripped off at all, whatsoever, at all. But when two things look quite similar, do you know what I mean? Do you reckon one company would get a bit peed off about it?
I don't know. I think, A, they all know each other because the drum industry is incredibly small in terms of who knows who. But it's one of those things where if you've got a group of people in one room trying to come up with ideas for drums and people in another room trying to come up with ideas for drums, there's a chance that they're going to come up with similar ideas, you know?
Yeah. But at the same time, the company in question have been doing this style of cymbals for years. I mean, the way I see it, I mean, if I was the company in question, not the one that brought the cymbals out, the company that had been imitated, shall we say.
I never said cymbals. Uh-huh.
So, right, if say in that case, I would see it as quite a compliment, purely because for someone to want to imitate your product, it must be a damn good product.
Yeah, and I think...
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think with instances like that, if they have been inspired by it, they can try and take it to new places. You know, the copying sucks, but copying and then trying to do something different with it...
It's a bit different.
Yeah, and they sound different, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's one of those things where... They've seen something and it's inspired them, and they've tried something similar but tried to take it in their own direction. Yeah. And it's down to the individuals whether that works for them or not.
Yep. Well, another thing I'm interested in at NAMM was Pearl's wooden fiberglass drums as well.
I didn't see them.
That sounds pretty... Well, why not? You were bloody there.
I think we were...
You're busy. The wooden fiberglass drums, they look quite interesting. I'd be kind of interested about what they sound like.
Oh, check that out. Wooden fiberglass,
wooden fiberglass. But to me, the main... Well, I believe they were the winner of sort of the best product or new product was Sona's vintage range, their vintage series.
Mm.
And I think... All in all, I would say vintage was probably the word of the week for NAMM, because everyone's sort of trying to get that vintagey kind of sound and look.
Yeah, I mean, do you know, I've been noticing quite a lot recently, especially with new artists. People are going back to that like 22, 24 by 16 bass drum, which is a very vintage sort of sound. They're going for that Bonham-esque sort of sound.
Yeah.
And I really like it. I think it's good.
Everyone's sort of going to the old school vibe.
I'm just checking out those Pearl. That's an interesting idea. I wonder how they'll sound with the 7-ply poplar and Kapor shells. with the an inner layer of fiberglass. That'll be interesting to see how.
Pretty interesting. Check out.
Mitchell, what does an inner layer of fiberglass over the wood?
Yeah. So well, from what I can see, it's 7 ply. So yeah. I assume 3 plies of poplar, then a ply of fiberglass, then 3 plies of kappa shells.
Okay.
But I can't, that's why I'm assuming. It'd be interesting.
I don't know. I would have thought you'd get more with the fiberglass on the outside or the inside rather than in the middle.
I mean, wouldn't that kind of take away some of the resonance? Or am I just talking stupid?
Yeah, a bit stupid, but, you know.
Okay. Well, you know, just thinking, because, I mean, for me, I find that a wooden snare kind of, it carries sound a lot nicer. I think it kind of resonates the sound really nice compared to something like steel.
True, but then I've got a hand-hammered Black Beauty that isn't wood, and it resonates like a bastard, you know?
Yeah, do you not find it's really tinny, though? Because I'm just trying to
think
of what
bastards resonate pretty well?
Yeah, they do. So you smack them with a stick. But, well, no, it's good. I think it just depends on the heads and everything you use, I guess.
Well, there's another bit of news from NAMM about Peter Erskine joining Tama.
Yes.
That's a point.
Which is cool, and I like his yellow kit. There was a picture of...
Very much yellow, isn't it?
...of him in front of his yellow kit. But the thing that I got a little bit, not upset, but a little bit sad about was there's a lot of people online sort of going on about, oh, we move money and all this kind of aspect. And the way I see it is, you know, Peter Erskine, incredible drummer, incredible man. He's earned his place in the drum echelons of legendary status. And to be honest with you, I think he can do whatever the fuck he wants. And fair play to him.
100%. I mean, that's what he said in his promotional video about it. He said, you know, it's come to the point in his career where he wants to go for a kit that he likes rather than a kit that he should get. So he decided to go with Tama. And I've got a bit of a soft spot for Tama. I always have. I mean, my first, the kit I brought with my first, like, I saved up all my pocket money when I was 14. And then I saved up, you know, all my Christmas and birthday monies. And I brought myself a secondhand Tama DW Rockstar. No, a Tama Rockstar DX, sorry. No, you know, the ones with the massive, like 10 to 12 inch in depth toms, the really big 80s ones. Yeah. And I absolutely loved it. You know, and I think Tama do a really good job with kits. I think they're nice. And I think, you know, he's made the right choice.
Yeah, was that, what else did they unveil at NAMM, Tama?
They did Star Hardware, some new hardware. I like them. I think they're a good company and they make good stuff. And yeah, but I mean, when I saw it, so many people going, oh, money, oh, he's been given more money, he's been given free stuff. And it's just like,
he gives a shit.
He's not in it for money. He's in it
to create the best music he can.
Exactly. Yeah. And at this stage in the game, he feels that is the company he wants to be with. And he can do whatever he wants, to be honest with you. And if that's what he wants to do, that's what he's going to do. And, you know, he has the full support of Give the Drummer Some Podcast.
100%. Yeah.
100%. Well, NAMM, another year, another load of quality products and things.
Oh, there's another thing as well that I liked was Remo with the Powerstroke 3 Black Dot.
All right.
It's one of those things where it's like, I'd never thought of the fact that, you know, they've got the black dots for tom heads and snare heads and stuff, but it's just like, why haven't they put it on a bass drum head till now? You know, that's
yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, it kind of gets rid of the use of the Phalam pad.
Phalam. So, what did you guys think to the, I cannot remember the name, I'll have to look it up. Oh, here we go, where you can change the different beaters on your bass pedal. Where is it? The Switch Kick bass drum beaters.
Bye.
We've got sort of replaceable beaters. I believe Big Bang Distribution.
Yeah.
It's got it.
Is it Big Bang?
Yeah, you push down sort of the neck of the beater,
yeah,
and you can swap different ones over. So you've got like a wooden one, you've got one that's like
the Switch Kick, but yeah.
What do you think to those? Do you think there's a need for that out there where it's sort of, I mean, I've never kind of thought halfway through a song, oh, I've got to swap beaters around.
I've never done it for a song because I've never done it live kind of thing. But I think studio situation, if you like the pedal, you like the way the pedal feels, I think it's cool that, you know, because with recording albums, there's such an intense microscope that every sound that you create is going to be crucial. And if you can replace bass drum beaters and get a better bass drum beater that fits perfectly and it creates a good sound with the same pedal, I think it's really cool.
Okay. I think it's a great idea. I mean, I do quite a bit of session work, and it depends on who I'm playing for, depending on the sound.
In fairness, I've got a lot of bass drum beaters that I look at before gigs and sessions and go, well,
you know what I mean? Because yeah. I mean, with the stuff I'm doing at the moment, so I do like some really like early 90s grunge sort of stuff. So I like to have that click on the bass drum just to give it an extra edge to get over the guitars and stuff. So I mean, would be as a wicked, but with the soul stuff, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that extra click. I could have sworn I saw years ago Vinnie Paul, and he taped
two P's.
Yeah,
I used to do that.
Oh, did you?
I actually used to do that, yeah. Back in the day when I was about 14, 15, I used to get like a double kick drum like protector, and then I'd put two P's on them and then gaffer tape them on.
I never did that, but I had heard about people doing that.
Yeah, it absolutely destroys your batter head, and
sure.
When the tape comes off, your beaters tend to stick to the actual skin.
Yeah.
Oh, so not advised then.
No, and you know what? It's a little. I found it was just too much. Like, you know, with the wood, you still get loads of depth, but when you put the two P's on it, or any penny, you don't have to go for a two P. It kind of just, you lose all that depth. You just get pure click.
Well, you know, I'm a bit more posh, George, because I used 50 P's and I did mine.
Yeah, so did I.
I'm a bit high maintenance.
When I was like 14, 15, two P's was a good lot of pocket money, man.
You grew up, what, like 1840?
Chris and I are from Jersey, man. It's 50p and pounds.
Yeah, man. We're all bloody tax dodgers and finance. Well, let's move on from NAMM and let's talk about, what about your drummer of the month? So any sort of drummers that you've been checking out on YouTube or anything like that? Do you guys have any at all?
Yeah, George, you go first.
Cool. Well, seeing as I'm going to watch him play a seminar a week Monday, I'm going to talk about Thomas Lang.
Who?
I've been a guy, he's called Thomas Lang.
Really?
I think he tried out for a band called Dreaming Theatres, I think.
Oh, what does he do? He plays drums, does he?
Sometimes.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Now, we all know Thomas Lang, man. But he's
who?
Yeah.
he's Thomas doing Tang?
Yeah. Thomas, yeah, Lomas Tang. But no, he's doing a seminar in just over a week's time, local to me. So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go check him out. So I'm looking forward to that. But he did like a drum battle with what's his name now? Luke Holland.
Oh right.
And it was really good. It was at the Seoul Drum Festival, was it?
Yeah.
I think I'm reading that right. But it was really good. Really, really good. So that's worth checking out.
And we know Thomas Lang is just a leviathan on the drums.
He's just a beast. Like, I don't understand how he's so precise and so quick, yet so, like, so powerful.
Yeah.
Like, I've never, like, he really hits, man.
Yeah. He's an amazing player. And listeners out there, if you haven't checked out Thomas Lang, you haven't checked out Thomas Lang?
He's got a wicked band as well. What is it, Stork?
Stork. Great, yeah.
Yeah, great band.
Fantastic band. Okay, I'll go next. I have been checking out a drummer from New Zealand called Dylan Elise. Or Elise. Uh-huh. And he's like a street drummer. Ooh. And George, you'd like him. He takes his top off quite a lot. And he does...
Hold on, let me type this in. What's his name?
Dylan Elise. And he's a fantastic player. He's like a street drummer, but he does sort of parties and festival times and all that kind of stuff. And in his video, you just have loads of people surrounding him, just pissed as a fart. And he's just a really good player. And I'll sort of be checking out his vids. And he's just pretty cool. You should check him out.
Oh, nice.
Tomas?
I have been listening to a metal band, a Swedish metal band, called Scar Symmetry.
Scar Symmetry.
Do you know them?
Yes, no. I've heard of them.
Yeah, man. Henrik Clapton on drums. Holy shit. Like,
he's good then.
Yeah, he's so good, man. They've got the new album came out last year, and it's amazing. It's going to be part one of a trilogy of albums. It's called The Singularity Phase One Neo Humanity, and right. I've got a description of the concept of the album, right? And it's just amazing. It's the first phase of the trilogy is centered around the rise of artelects. With mental capacities far above human level of thought, and that by the year 2030, the world's biggest industries will be run by artificial brains used to control humanity. The local content focuses on the divide between those who embrace the new technology and those who oppose it. Due to the social issues caused by the rise of the artificial intelligence and the emergence of transhumanists who add artelect technology to their own bodies.
Ooh. Oh, sorry, have you finished? I fell asleep. Sorry, Tom.
So, it's good. It's just about, like, robots and stuff.
It's about robots.
It's about robots and stuff.
It's great. I'm going to send you the links to it, because you're going to love it.
That's badass. Oh, right. Well, George, you actually shared something earlier on that was pretty badass. Friend of Goof the Drummer Sum, another one, just mentioning names, Mike Mallion from Monuments.
Yes.
Where they played over the top of Steve Carell.
Oh, mate.
Bruce Almighty.
How brilliant was that?
That's really cool.
Mate, I was a weird story. We had a girl start at work, and she's from Lancashire or something. And she's really posh, really sweet, really nice. And I was talking to her, and she was like, I walked into work with my headphones in. She was, what are you listening to? I was like, oh, Tesseract. I was like, have you heard of them? She went, yeah, do you know Monuments? I was like, yeah, brilliant band. She went, yeah, I used to go out with one of them. Oh. And she goes, oh, mate, the next time they come into Birmingham, I'll sort you out, and we'll get to like hang out with them, go to the pub. And I was like, yes.
Which one did she go out with?
I can't remember. But yeah, and then she got fired. Yeah, what a band, man.
Oh, they're great band, man. Really, really cool. And we had Mike Mallion. He was one of the first guys we had, that came on the podcast. That was
brilliant,
cool.
Drummer.
But now it's a really good video. And what we'll do is we'll put that on the page, the episode 80 page on Give the Drummer Some at gtdspod.com. So check that out. Yeah. Tracks. What about music? Could I start?
Yeah.
I cannot believe that Ozzy Osbourne's album Osmosis is 20 years old this year.
What?
When that came out, I was
an amoeba. You were three. It was 20 years old. I used to drive around listening to Osmosis with Perry Mason on it, and
you know what, man?
Go on, Thunder Underground, and
I remember all of that as well. Like, my dad's a massive metalhead, and we used to have it on tape, and every time we go to Wales or whatever on holiday, because you know it's the best place to go. Yeah, always that. Always Perry Mason. Remember that,
dude. Osmosis, 20 years old. Another one that's 20 years old that I've been listening to furiously is King for a Day, Fall for a Lifetime, Faith No More.
I thought you were about to say King for a Day by Green Day. I was like, you changed your tune.
No, I don't listen to Green Day. I don't listen to Green Day. Yeah, man, Faith No More. It's a fantastic album. It's really good. Digging the Grave is a great song. Evidence,
Digging the Grave is
fantastic
great.
Song. And again, it's 20 years old this year, and I cannot believe it. I mean, literally, I was driving around listening to those albums. That's how old I am. This is bullshit.
I wasn't
being driven around.
And let me tell you,
I wasn't even in the ether of consciousness yet.
Guys, when you reach a point where these classic albums or really good albums that you can remember buying, you know, from your local shop, you know, when they're 20 years old, you get a bit like, holy shit. So those ones in particular, I have been listening to a fair amount. Osmosis, and also King for a Day, Fall for a Lifetime. And I would like to also mention the one band or a band that I listen to almost permanently and have done for some time. And we had the drummer on recently, Mr. Trulz, from Incense. I cannot get enough of Incense from Norway, especially the two tracks, Meandering and Burning Beautiful Fire. Incredible. If you love your metal, if you love your music heavy, you have to listen to this band, Incense. They are badass. And Incense, spelled I-N-S-E-N-S-E.
Not like the ones you burn.
Not like the ones you burn.
Okay.
Although like Burning Beautiful Fire is a fantastic one, but don't burn incense, because that's the wrong kind of incense. Dagnabbit. So, who will be next? George,
I'll be next.
Tell us.
What I've been listening to.
Yours?
Right. You're going to laugh, man. years ago, I got into, I was big into like the old hair metal 80s sort of stuff. Mm. And I found online a band called Crash Diet. I don't know if you've ever
heard of them. No, I've heard of them.
Right. And I thought they were absolutely incredible. And I never got a chance to see them. They did tour Birmingham, but something happened to, well, they were meant to, and something happened to their van. They went back to Sweden. But their first album, they're wicked. Proper, like, punk, like, hair metal sort of stuff, like old Motley Crue sort of stuff. Their first album was called Rest in Sleaze. That's how good they are. But yeah, I've been listening to loads of them. It's just a complete cheesy 80s rock. It's great.
So well, you say that about your hair metal and stuff. I noticed on your Facebook, Hot Rod.
Yeah.
A picture, was it about 6 years ago?
Oh, that was so funny. Mate,
yeah, I've got to say, Rodders, you looked very feminine.
Oh, yeah, man. I had like, my hair was down to my nip-nips. Like, it was jet black.
And but I it wasn't to, like, down to your nip-nips, was it? Because you used to bouffant it up.
Well, it was. The bottom bits were down there. The top, I used to kind of, like, backcomb hairspray, like, mousse it out all the way down. It was it was very Nikki Six, shall we say. But, yeah, like, every day that was. I used to go to work and to college and everything like that.
Do you know what? I think we need to put that picture on the episode 80 page of the podcast. Agreed. Just like
mate, if you want it, you
just
can
like
have
monuments
it.
Well, you got to send it. We got to get the listeners having a bit of a chortle on your behalf.
I'm all right with that. That's fine. Well, I think it's the one where I was in the process of doing my hair when it, or is it the one where I was playing drums? That one's even worse.
I don't know. I tell you what we'll do. I'll put a picture of me from 20 years ago when Osmosis came out, because I look pretty ridiculous. George, picture you with your bouffanty, girly, Nikki Sixy hair. And Tom, just for the listeners to have a laugh, I reckon probably a picture from now, actually.
What, right now? That'd be great.
That'd be sufficient. Because I think Tom's going through his dorky stage right now, I think. So.
My whole life has been one big dorky stage.
Just a huge chunk of dork.
I'm spending my commutes to work playing Legend of Zelda on a 3DS.
Oh, Christ. Hey, I've got to say, I've got Street Fighter 2 on my iPhone. That's cool.
Nice.
I love Street Fighter 2. Man. Street Fighter 2 was amazing.
Hold on. Can you get that on Android?
Probably not.
No. I'm looking.
Get Final Fantasy 4 of your games. That's amazing.
I've never been into them games. Man.
My 4-year-old daughter, she's like, Daddy, can I play fighting? It's like, yep. So I get out of Street Fighter 2. And I tell you what, there is no. It's very, very surreal and weird watching your offspring play a game that you grew up playing as well. But you played yours on the telly using a SNES.
Daddy, can I play
she's
fighting?
On a phone. It's like, what's that about?
And the phone is more powerful than the TV and the snares that you were using.
Exactly. But it's really weird when you know, your daughter or your child is playing the same game that you used to play. It's like, what?
My
freaky times.
My sister, 7, she's just started playing Super Mario 64. And I, at her age, I was playing Super Mario 64. So that's really weird.
It's strange, man.
I used to love Streets of Rage. That was the one that was.
Streets of Rage. See, I never played that because chances are I was about 30 by the time that came out. So I'd kind of moved on.
It was on the original Sega. It was at the times where you could only, like, if you wanted to go across the street to fight, you'd have to press up and down. Like, it was just 2D. You'd just go, me, 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 me.
What about Phantasy Star Online? Did you guys ever play that?
No.
Nope.
I used to love Pilot Wings.
Never played it.
On the Super... In fact, no, I said the SNES earlier on for Street Fighter 2. It wasn't even SNES, it was NES.
Did you do the whole N64 PlayStation thing?
No, I did.
You were out of it by then.
I did. Do you know what? My brother, I remember one of my first memories as a child was an Atari.
Right.
Atari, which is like power old. Because my brother, he's like... He's 10 years older than I am, so...
Right.
He played... I remember that. And then after that, it was like a Game Boy. Like the original Game Boy.
You had to play Pokemon.
And then after that... And then I remember the same time as a Game Boy, I had something called an Atari Lynx.
Okay.
And it was like the Game Boy, but on steroids. It was bigger, but it was a colour screen. It was like, this is fucking sweet.
Nice.
And there was a flying game on that. I can't remember what it was. I can't remember the name. And then after that came the... Nintendo Entertainment System.
Was that the N64?
No, it was the really boxy one. That was the one that Street Fighter 2 was on. Right. And then you had the No, it wasn't. Was it the SNES? Then you had the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
I remember the Snoopy. The Super, yeah.
The Super one. And then that's kind of where I kind of left. I didn't play anymore after that.
I see. Sure.
So I missed out the N64 and all that kind of stuff. And then next, I came back with the PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
And then I kind of went again after that as well.
You didn't get PlayStation 1? Mate, you didn't have Abe's Odyssey.
No.
Abe's Odyssey is terrifying, man.
It's brilliant just when you can just fart. It's great. You just fart and laugh. That's all I ever did was fart and laugh on that game.
So the whole...
That's all
like,
you ever do in life.
Pretty much.
The whole underlying story of like creatures being turned into food and being fed to each other went completely over your head because they farted.
And laughed. literally, you could just get him to go me 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 me, and then you go and then laugh. It was brilliant. That kept me into that. Oh, you know what? My favorite game ever. That was.
Dang.
Because it had a really serious undertone to it. That game.
Yeah, but fart and laugh. Fart and laugh.
Fart and laugh.
I came in with the original Game Boy. Then I've had every single Game Boy since. I had an N64. Then I went to PS2, PS3, PS4. I like games.
Cool.
I like to play.
Sorry, in the background, I haven't got the volume up, obviously, so it'll be picked up. I got the Celebrity Apprentice on, the American version.
Okay.
Do you think Donald Trump has any mirrors in his house?
Donald Trump's a wig with an idiot underneath.
But do you think he actually realizes that his hair is really bad?
I think the question is, does he actually care?
I suppose.
I'm sure he cries, yeah, when he falls asleep in his pile of money.
But it seems like it's kind of like a puzzle of how to put the hair together. Because it's not just like a sweat back Barnet. It's kind of like a bit here and a bit there and a bit all over the joint. It's really weird, man. Like, you need a map just to brush his hair. Anyway, we're veering off from drums. Let's move back.
The Da Vinci Code of hair.
The Da Vinci Code of hair.
You wonder how much his haircuts cost?
Quite a lot. Probably more than my car.
Glad mine's cheap.
So, guys, let's move on swiftly. Movies. What movies have you been watching? I tell you what, I might start this one off, yes? Hmm?
Okay.
I watched a movie, actually, about 3 hours ago, and it was a fan-freaking-tastic. Never heard of it before. It was on Amazon. I thought, I'll give it a go on Amazon Prime. Wow. Really got me thinking. It's one of those kind of, like, what would you do type movies, and it's called Unthinkable, and it's got Samuel L. Jackson on it. It's got Michael Sheen, and just fantastic acting. It's unbelievable. Michael Sheen is like a terrorist,
right?
It's kind of how can I describe
it? Oh, I've seen this one.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson's an interrogator. I mean, it's more like a torture guy.
A torturer, yeah,
but
yeah.
It gets you thinking, you know, all the people that are like, you know, we got to do this, we got to do that to him. And, you know, when you look at it from a different perspective, it's like, but then you look at it from another, you're like, it's loads of different perspectives, and it's seeing everything in kind of a different way. I don't want to say too much because it is a little bit political, a little bit controversial here and there, and this podcast isn't really the place for things like that. But it's just a cracking film, and I recommend people see that. I also saw Sabotage with Annie.
Is it good?
And I loved it. I thought it was really good because this one, Arnie actually acts in it. I know. He's properly giving acting a go. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really great.
Nice. You mentioned Arnie before.
Mentioned what?
You mentioned Arnie before. I've been my flatmate and I watched Predator and Predator 2.
Classics.
Yeah. Predator is my favourite. It is my favourite ever film.
Get to the chopper.
Which it's one, though?
The first
Predator
one.
Predator 1 or 2? Let's see. I'm going to get killed for this. I prefer the second one.
George, you know what?
It's just Danny Glover, though.
Guys, I'm sorry. I agree with George.
Yes.
I think Predator 2 is better, man.
Danny Glover's cool.
I don't think the ending's better. I think the ending's a little bit pony. Spoiler alert. I think when they show up and all the other aliens, it's like, oh, here's a present. Bye. It's like, what the f***?
I loved the first Predator so much that when I was younger, I watched it 7 times in one day.
Wow.
I absolutely loved it. It would finish watching, I'd watch it again. I did it 7 times
in one day. How old were you?
I was about 14.
When you were younger?
That was
like
5 years ago.
That was 9 years ago, Tom.
I don't know. I just absolutely loved it.
But when I was younger.
But what I loved about the first one was that you didn't know what it was, and that was so cool because you didn't know what the hell it was. Whereas in the second one, you knew what it was straight away, so it kind of became less of a horror film and more of an action film.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Real life Predator versus a real life alien. Predator. Who would win?
Predator all the way. My money's on Predator always.
Me as well. I'd agree with that. That's not much of a fucking discussion then, is it?
Here's one for you. What did you think of Predators, the latest one?
I really liked it.
It was. Is that the one with Adrian Brody in it?
Yeah.
It was all right. It was okay.
I thought it was a nice return to the. To the kind of the films that they should be, like AVP, and that was crap.
Yeah, real bad.
But I think Predators kind of was more of a nod to the original kind of style of the Predator film.
Definitely. Yeah. You know what? I really like the fact that there wasn't one type of Predator. That's what I thought was great.
Yeah, that was cool.
I didn't like Lawrence Fishburne in it, though. That was a bit like, hey, look who we've got. You know?
Yeah.
But, guys, one film I'm looking forward to seeing, and I really am super excited to see it, is Whiplash. That looks pretty badass.
Yeah, man, that looks awesome.
So I'm sure you guys are in agreement, as I'm sure the listeners are in agreement, if they haven't seen it already. I'm sure they're looking forward to that. But the question is this. What movie featuring drums or any kind of drum thing is your favourite?
I can't think of every single drum-related movie has just gone out of my head now.
I've got one.
Man.
And right. I was reminded of it the other day when I watched it again.
That'll remind you.
It's one of my... big time. And it's one of my favourite films of all time. It's one of the worst films of all time, but to me it's one of my favourites. It stars the man, the myth, the legend, possibly my favourite actor because he's in so many of my favourite films.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Chris, but I can't take all the credit.
Mr. Kurt Russell. He's in The Thing, Big Trouble in Little China, Escape from New York. The guy's a legend.
Did he play Plissken?
Snake Plissken, yeah, Kurt Russell. And that movie I'm talking about that's drum-related is Tango and Cash.
Never seen
it. You're like, how is it drum-related? It's cheesy. It's awful. The LAPD have like a section of them where it's like, you know, Q in James Bond movies.
Yeah.
The LAPD have like a section where they kind of make up gadgets and gizmos. It's like, what? What? It's got, but the main thing it has is it's got the rather lovely Terry Hatcher, circa 1989, looking particularly fine with big bouffant 80s hair. And she gets up, guys, you've got to see this. It's the worst drum solo of all time.
Oh, I don't know.
She's doing like, it's not really a striptease. It's just a dance for a load of guys in the bar. And then she shouts out for some sticks. She gets handed some sticks. And they got like the Simmons pads, you know, like the hexagons or whatever they are.
Yeah.
There's like two of them. And she just hits them randomly with a song. And then throws the sticks away. It carries on playing. It all lasts about 15 seconds. But I didn't remember seeing that previously. And it is the most random thing you'll ever see in your life. And I tell you what, I'll put that on episode 80 page on Give the Drummer Some Podcast at gtdspod.com, because you have to see the worst drum solo in the history of drum solos. Bless her heart for trying. I've got to say that because I know she's an avid listener of the podcast. So there we go. TV, guys. Let's talk TV. And then I think it's time we went, because Thomas is looking a little bit peaky. George's asleep already.
Yeah.
And I am starting to bungle my words. TV shows. Anything good that you guys have been checking out? Let's go Hot Rod.
Hot Rod? That's me. I've been watching loads of American Horror Story.
Is that good?
I'll let George talk about it first.
Okay, yeah. I know that you're going to agree with me on this now.
Tear it in your
soul.
Oh, mate.
Right, so, I don't like horrors. I don't like horrors. I've never been into horrors. I'm more of a comedy sort of dude. But I thought I'd give it a go. First season, I thought it was wicked up until like the last few episodes, and then it was kind of just like they'd finished the story early and going, oh shit, we need to, we've got like four more episodes to do. I'll tell you what, let's just make it really weird.
Yeah.
And they kind of just turned it, and then just they had loads of characters, and it all, like, you know, it all kind of relates to this one horror house. And the family that live in this horror house, and there's a load of ghosts and stuff, and it all goes around that house. Mm. And then they kind of finish the story halfway through the season and then go, shit, let's just tell the story of the ghosts. And then they kind of just go back and start making different stories for that, which I thought was a bit tacky. Now, the second series was unreal.
Was it?
The Asylum.
I started watching, like, a couple of episodes, and I just thought, oh, I don't want it to turn out like the first series, so I stopped watching.
No, it's completely different. The second series, The Asylum, by far, so far, has been my favourite.
Scary, the second series?
I'm not going to say scary. It's just really good. Like, right. For me, it was brilliant. It's about, like, there's a couple of people that are involved. So, I don't know if you know much about it, but American Horror Story is basically, it's a cast of people, and they each season is one story.
Yeah.
So the first one's about the horror house.
They're all unrelated. Yeah.
And what they do is each season they carry on the same cast members. They just play different roles. So it's like a theatre show. So they just play different roles each time. So the second series is pretty much the same cast members just playing different roles. But so it involves a journalist that goes to an asylum. And while she's there, there's a killer called Bloody Face, who they believe is a guy called Bloody Face anyway. And it's about like her story and then his story, and they get trapped in there, and it gets really weird, and it involves someone gets possessed by the devil, but it's really good. So that it's well worth a watch. I think the third series is about witchcraft, which is cool. Yeah. And I'm on the fourth season now, which is about a freak show, which is really funny.
I've heard that series four is incredible. Where are you watching it?
Where am I watching it? I found streaming versions online, so I've just been watching them from various websites because I can't
naughty
find.
Boy.
I know, but I can't find. I don't have the means on my television ones to download them, so I've just been streaming them offline. But it's really good.
The first series up until the last three or four episodes was incredible. Like the doctor who like tried to stitch his baby back together, that was just like,
yeah,
that was so intense, and that thing in the basement was so fucking scary.
Yeah, but I just love the fact that the next door neighbour, I'm giving a plot away, the next door neighbour basically is the mother to most of the ghosts in the house, and I love that.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Really, really good up until the last couple of episodes. And it's just like, oh.
Yeah.
The big reveal with the daughter was the one of the best twists I've seen in a long time.
We should have done spoiler alerts and stuff, dudes, no?
Yeah. I'm not going
to
say what the reveal was, but the reveal with the daughter in the last few episodes was awesome. And then it just kind of went downhill from there.
Yeah.
We're talking of things going a little bit downhill. Thomas, you're not going to be pleased with me. Hannibal. Started watching it.
Yeah.
Season one, pretty good. Season two, nah.
You're not a fan?
No. I thought the first episode of season one, I was like, this is great. Give me more. And then it started kind of going slightly downhill, very, very slowly, very carefully. And
right.
Then season two, lost interest, man. We haven't even finished it yet, and I'm just like, nah.
Oh, I really like season two. The last episode of season two is great.
Yeah, don't tell me anyway. We've got literally got three episodes. But
sure, yeah. There's a scene in the last episode which is hilarious. It's just the way Mads Mikkelsen delivers his line. It's just one line.
He's very much kind of da 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 da. It's very monotone. It's very one level when he talks.
Yeah, but I think that's on purpose.
Does he go absolute batshit crazy
in the last episode? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, then that's the main thing.
He's not batshit crazy in terms of like yelling, but he goes yeah.
But see, like names and stuff, like Mason Verger's in it, and it's like okay, cool. That's interesting.
Apparently, in the third season, they're introducing more characters from like Red Dragon and stuff. They're leading up to all that.
But it's kind of, I don't know, it just, the whole thing, you know, him against Will, and it's, I just don't know why Will hasn't done more. Do you know what I mean?
I liked Eddie Izzard's character as well.
I'm not a big Eddie Izzard fan, but...
That bit when he's sat at the dinner table and he gives him the food and it's just like...
Oh yeah, that's pretty gross. But I got to say one thing, it is probably the goriest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it is
full on. And there's one character in there and it's just like, holy crap. God, how do I say, sorry guys, spoiler alert, I can't get out of this, out of saying this. There's one guy who likes dressing up as an animal and he uses the bones. The way that they take him out and leave him in the museum.
Yeah.
Holy Christ.
I know, right? There's one bit later. I'm not sure which episode it is. I can't remember I'm not sure if you've seen it or not.
Probably not.
but the way they punish this, that Hannibal punishes this one guy, is it'll make your stomach turn.
It's, I think because
he doesn't kill him, but he punishes him, and it's just like, oh.
I just think all of them, it's like, it's the most goriest thing you could ever see. It's unbelievable. Anyway, listen, guys, we have spoken enough BS, and we've bored our two listeners half to death, no doubt. So I think we should call that a day, don't you think, guys?
What?
I do.
Cool. Well, we hope you enjoyed our exclusive, detailed look at the NAMM show this year. And we hope you enjoyed that presenter special too. And we'll see you later. Play your drums, have fun, and we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.